Yeah, but as I want to show as myself to student, I don't want to teach my style. As I'm as working with student to make small pavilion by hands, and I want to show them my way of thinking. I don't want to show my style. I always want to change myself. As I'm talking with them, please don't stay on the same place. Please go to the new place. Please go to find the new material. That is the lessons I'm teaching in the university.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Designed, an architecture podcast. We appreciate you listening, and once you're finished, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast, rate us, and leave a comment. Enjoy the show, and have a wonderful day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Designed with me, your host, Aaron Prinz. As always, to start, just want to say thank you to all of you out there for listening to the podcast, supporting it. All the comments and reviews in the iTunes review section, thank you very much. And of course, be sure to follow us on Instagram at designed.podcast for everything we have coming up. We have some really great interviews in the works, a lot of stuff to be excited about, so be sure to follow us so you don't miss anything. This week's episode is pretty awesome. I'm really excited about it. We have Kengo Kuma all the way from Tokyo, Japan. We drove up, we met him in Dallas, Texas. He was there looking at the completion of the Rolex Tower in downtown Dallas. A really nice building we got to take a look at afterwards. And we go into a lot of cool subjects. We go to the development of Vall, Switzerland, which he has a hotel going up. His design philosophy and just how he kind of constantly strives to reinvent himself and his work. So really great interview. I think you all are really going to enjoy it. So without further ado, sit back, relax. Here we go with Kengo Kuma. So I was recently in Vall, Switzerland, home to Zumthor's thermal baths. And there's a lot of redevelopment there. I know Morphosis has a tower going up or a proposed tower, as well as Tada Wando also has an installation going, and you have a hotel under construction there. But Vall's, it's such a small village, 900 people. What do you think the impact is on the village of having such famous architects coming in and constructing things?
I think it's a very unique place. Peter Zonto started that kind of collaboration with the local people. It can be a very good example of the new lifestyle in the mountain. But still, so we should be very careful how to preserve pureness of nature and the life of the people. The local community and the tourism should respect each other. And that is a key point of that kind of project.
And I think yours actually fits in very well with the stone roof and this sort of thing in the vernacular. How do you feel about maybe, and I'd love to have Tom on the podcast at some point, an 85-story tower going into a...
Basically, for every places, I want to create harmony with the environment. As a tower is always not our interest. But I heard architects and the community trying to find some solution, and I'm looking forward to see the solution.
So real quickly, take our audience through, where did you grow up? What did your parents do, the economics of your household, and out of all the things you could have done in the world, why the heck architecture?
I was born 1954, and for me, the first Tokyo Olympic is happened in 1964, was very, very important event. Before 1964, Tokyo was very small, humble city, and the most of the buildings were 1-2-story wooden building. But for Tokyo Olympic, the government decided to start bullet train project, the concrete freeway project. Those big structures gave me big shock. And finally, my father brought me to the Kenzo Tange, a famous architect at that time, the Kenzo Tange's Yoyogi Gymnasium. It was used for the swimming game of Olympic. I was so impressed by the beauty of the building. And on that day, I decided to become an architect. So Olympic changed my life totally. But 1970s, that kind of economical expansion and the industrialization caused many problems and pollution and traffic jam and the tradition of Japanese city and the beauty of Japanese city totally destroyed in 1970s. And then, as I began to feel, architects is really good job for me. I began to think as like that. Beginning of 1980s, I did a research trip to Africa. I found the many beautiful villages in Africa, the use of natural materials, harmony with the environment. That kind of harmony really gave me the idea for future architecture. Then I began to think I should go to the totally different direction from Kenzo Tange and Tadao Ando, Arata Isozaki, Kisho Kurokawa. Those people are basically are not interested in local material. They are interested in shape, design. I want to go different direction. So for me, the 2020 Olympics we are working for, the stadium project, will be the good chance for me to show my idea, my attitude to the environment. That's the main reason why we use local wood for the stadium, the local wood from every prefecture of Japan. We have, because we have 47 prefectures from south to north, I try to use the wood from every villages, and I want to show still nature is beautiful in Japan.
You studied in Japan, but then you also went to grad school at Columbia.
Yes.
So you're going from kind of a culture that has this tradition of craftsmanship and building to, I think, the U.S., not, in my opinion, not so much that there's this sort of unique style. So how did this international study, how did that influence your architecture and your design process?
Yes, so I attended Columbia 1985 to 1986. It's a very interesting period. New computational design, the parametric design, becomes a kind of trend in Columbia on that time. And Bernard Tschumi came to Columbia in 1986, and he started the paperless studio. And my friends in Columbia, they were following that direction. They did use computer very smartly, but I didn't feel sympathy to that direction. It's a kind of counter teachers, it's a anti teachers, give me many stimulation, but because of them, I tried to go to opposite direction, not computers.
There's a trend, Tadao Ando opposite direction.
Yes.
You know, computers opposite direction. What spurs this in your life that makes you want to do that?
Yeah, so instead of computers, I want to use my hand. I want to use my hand to work with material and feel material by hands. That is a direction I found in New York. And also in New York, I bought tatami mat. You know tatami mat? Tatami mat is the floor material, the floor of tea house. I found that one set of tatami mat. I invited my friends have the tea ceremony on tatami mat. And on tatami mat, so we totally can change ourselves. And it's also a great experience for me. And it's also a big shock for my friends, American friends. In Japan, I didn't feel that kind of experience. But in state, I could find importance of Japanese space. And always the travel to this new place can change myself. Still, I like to travel a lot to many places because I want to change myself. And the New York is very important space. New York did change Kengokuma totally.
So can you take our audience through those early years of starting your firm? And what kind of projects were you doing in the early days? And then was there ever a time when maybe the phone wasn't ringing and you didn't have a job lined up? And how did you get through that to get to the place you are today?
Yeah, so after coming back from Colombia in 1986, the Japanese economy was still very good. And I could start my office very smoothly. I could do some small project in Tokyo for fashion companies or design company. But after 3 years, the year 1990s, the so-called bubble economy bursted in Japan. It's a big corruption. Then the 1990s, I couldn't find any project in Tokyo. Looking back, it's a big experience for myself. I had enough time to travel to countryside, and in the small villages, luckily, I could design a small project. For example, a small public toilet in a small mountain village. And for that project, I had enough time to work with craftsmen. And I learned many things from them. How to make rice paper, how to make the stucco. Through those experiences, in 10 years, I could learn something I couldn't learn from university. University education is just teaching the modernism designs, teaching the star architect design. So university was like that. Still, university is something like that.
Yeah, but you're also now people are looking and they're quoting you as that star architect in the university. So.
Yeah, but as I want to show as myself to students, I don't want to teach my style. As I'm working with students to make small pavilion by hands, and I want to show them my way of thinking. I don't want to show my style. I always want to change myself. As I'm talking with them, please don't stay on the same place. Please go to the new place. Please go to find the new material. That is the lessons I'm teaching in the university.
So how do you go from small public toilets in villages to here we are in Dallas for the Rolex Tower? I mean, nothing is further from a public toilet in a small village than a Rolex Tower.
Yeah, but as for me, the small public toilet and the Rolex Towers, not so different. So for each project, I try to work with local material. I try to respect the site, respect the environment. That attitude that I learned from the small village, I try to adapt that attitude to the bigger project. The scale is not an issue for us.
There's a lot of people that start firms that aren't nearly as successful as you have been. Mm. So what do you think you specifically did that kind of made yourself stand out and made your firm kind of catch the eye of so many people?
So for my case, I always don't want to follow previous generation. The previous generations in Japan, we have the big stars, and the Isozaki, Kurokawa, Ando, Totoito, those are the former generation. I always want to go to different direction, but it's from the beginning, it's not easy at all. Their design looks very amazing, and then to go to the different direction looks very tough, very difficult. But as a thing for me is I could work in a very different situation. In the public toilet in a small village is totally different field for architect. Scale is small and the cost is very limited. And the client didn't want to have the trendy design. But that kind of tough condition give me a big hint for future architecture. And always I'm telling to my student to find a new condition, to fight with a tough condition is a big chance for architects. Please jumping into the tough condition is my lesson to young architect.
Put our audience in. So you're shortlisted for a project, if that still happens in your case, and you go in to pitch your final design. What makes your client say, we want Kengo Kuma instead of other firms, instead of the Zaha, instead of the Norman Foster? Mm-hmm. What says, we want Kengo Kuma?
Yes. Recently, I feel people want to live with natural material much more than before. I think the biggest reason is the stress of this computerized world. 1990s, my clients didn't say anything about material. But recently, the question from the client is always, what is the material for our project? And then the people are getting interested in material. Before, people were interested in shape of the building, appearance of the building. But now, people want to find the good material for good life. People want to have the good composition with the material. It's a new trend. I don't need to fight with a client for material recently. And also, the interesting trend for recent client is this. From them, I want to see new Kengokuma. I don't want to see old Kengokuma. From them, it is not easy for me to show new Kengokuma for every project, but pushed by them is good for our motivation. I feel it's a new trend.
Well, what does a Kengokuma building look like in 20 years as now in the last 20 computers have become pretty much the standard and you're looking at, you know, the Zaha parametric designs and the buildings are getting crazy. And I think that shape aspect you talked about is making a strong comeback. So how does Kengokuma and Associates, how does that adapt to meet those type of trends when dealing with material?
Yeah, so in 1985, when I was in Colombia, so I wasn't interested in parametric design at all. But recently, we are using parametric method for most of projects because we are using the small unit for the protagonists of the project. The small is of wood, for example, wooden sticks, wooden bars, how to aggregate those wooden the material is my main interest. For that kind of approach, so we should compare with the dimensions, the section of the wood, and length of wood, and structural solution by those unit. And for finding the best solution, we need to work with computer. At the beginning, I hate parametric design, but recently I'm enjoying working with as a parametric method. Maybe at the beginning, the computational design looks like method for creating strange shape. It is a goal of computational design is creating strange curvatures, as a strange volume. I hated that method, but for creating the comfortable complexity is always a goal of our project. The computer can be the good tool.
I think that's one of the best ways I've heard it described, comfortable complexity. It's nice. What's your proudest moment in architecture?
Proudest moment? Mm-hmm. After completion of the building, I love to visit the site again. After 5 years, after 10 years, I often visited the site. And sometimes, some new things is happening. I'm very proud of seeing that kind of new experience in the space. I am enjoying the new use of space. Most of architects didn't want to see some new renovation that's new adding to the original design. They want to keep as it was, precisely. But I like to see the change of space. The change of space means people find a new way of using the space. This is very important for architectural design. If the architectural design remains as it was, it is a kind of dead space. So if the space is living, people always want to change the space. I'm very proud of seeing that kind of things.
What's your biggest setback in architecture, and how did you use it to forward your career?
1980s, first 3-4 years, some of my designs in 1980s, maybe you know M2 building, it looks very different from our current design. And then people criticize very much, and especially my former generation, Ando-san criticized my design very much at that time. And I was so disappointed. But that criticism pushed me to the new direction. And always criticism is very helpful to change myself.
What advice would you have for the young architect just starting out that wants to have the type of career that you've had?
Don't follow me.
I mean, how many students have made, like, you see your projects every semester in school, so.
Yeah, I was always saying don't follow me, but I'm advising them to travel to a new place because my trip to Africa, Sahara Desert, gave me big hint. And also my trip to China gave me big hint. The bamboo house in China that I designed year 2000 can show the new Kengokuma. Without going to China, I can't do that project.
Last question. What's next for Kengo Kuma?
What's next? Always I try to change. And then the next Kengo Kuma, I don't know.
Well, Kengo Kuma, this has been honestly one of the joys of my architecture career. So I know you're busy. So thank you for taking the time to sit down with us. And thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Enjoy, everybody.
Thank you for listening to an episode of Designed, an architecture podcast. We'd appreciate you taking a moment to subscribe to us, rate us, and leave us a comment. Have a wonderful day.